really happy to be here in Cork City and to read for OVL. I'm OVL. I'm really happy. So the Barber Century is my new collection, and it looks like this. And the cover is a collage that I also made. I'm also a collage artist, so it's something I'm really proud of. I was thinking of maybe starting with my poem from the five-word contest, because I didn't want to come up with the open mic, so I'm going to start with that. It's a short one. I thought I'd save it for you. So, if collapse, counting pharmaceuticals, then counting the misfortunes, the brave fall, or the next collapse in line. Again, counting, waiting for a small miracle, a near step forward. Any solid thought, any crest of dream diminished, washed ashore, barefoot in despair. That was a hard one. Okay, so I'm going to read mostly from my new book and then some new poems, which are more politically based. So The Barber Century is a book that's very much about how to be hopeful and sort of how to keep your head up in these dark times that we're living in. Especially, the state of the world, but especially back in the States, there's so much that often brings me down, whether it's the current political climate or really being a single woman in the 21st century. It's quite hard. I don't know if it's hard like that here, but back home in New York, it's pretty hard. So you'll see those threads throughout the poem, the book. Also, like you were saying, there's many pop culture references in the book. You're going to hear later on some Game of Thrones poems. I know people like Game of Thrones. Yeah. Are there any Mad Men fans?
Woo!
Yes. Okay, that's exciting. Okay, so my final question, what about Westworld?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so happy right now. Okay, good. I didn't know if Westworld's like been, you know, popular overseas, but what about season 2 of Westworld?
Gosh.
Good, okay. If not, then spoiler alert, I'll tell you now. You could, I'll let you know beforehand. Okay, so that's in the middle of the reading. So, this first poem is called For All the Imposters, Thangder King. Small girls dream a while. The most are slipped graces, and many graces are slipped. Yes, there would come a rope, a lady who takes heartbreak, or a lady who saddles ill luck. All storms since you have given in. I have been operating from nothing, with no thing in hand but these. As a shelving of moving moss, I am ever on the lookout for a gorgeous sentence gone. Any gorgeous thing. No glancing. Mine is not one common. This next poem is called This Could Be Nostalgia. Let us count that you regard and I regard the changing of the tides and the sea of the last. We are tenaciously taking the tides in favor of abandoned ways. We are co-tempting the contemporary, or co-tempting the contemporary into a kind of sin. We are doing more than channeling when we laugh or when we strategize. In my day, I was a believer. In my day, the dial-up had a certain purr that ruffled my roost. That's lost now. Now, you, let alone with the golden, let the golden wilt and wild. We can construct the past, potshot the pristine. Here, coordinate my sprawling. Together, this could be nostalgia. This next poem is a prose poem in three sections. It's called Turning Over Phrases. It was originally inspired by, internet dating apps. Turning Over Phrases. Listen, and listen good. I clicked at the spell check when I saw that your name turned red. I blushed and thought, how romantic, how very 21st century. That's the beauty of this felt time. I can spuddle with what I deem romantic. Tug it, tweak it, and tune it till it's just right. Each digital act is charged by a display of affection or gratitude, attitude or charm. There's a bit of me here, between bone and heart bone, a bit muffled, but still plush.
It has been too long, too gone since I felt this kench, an interior kvetching here beneath the breast. I'm looking at the digital for something heartfelt, something coded heart, something worth sharing, something worthy of an investment. But then again, I am a salesman, my father's daughter. My words, a financial gesture between myself and my word bank. I am selling you an aesthetic experience. I touch type. And a word is now for swunk and for swinkled. I am so endearing, so enduring. Can't you see I'm being genuine? This is so potentially profitable. Do you want to cash in? The heart is a loaded weapon. Did I say weapon? I meant investment. That's a bit snarky, as my mom would call me. This is another poem in three sections called Force. One. At night, the stones are heavy in my hand. At night, the stones are heavy in my mind. At night, the stones are heavy in my heart. I want to be someone. I want to be someone. I want to be more than someone. I want to have something to show for this life. I want to push my way up. I want to force my way to greatness. In this dark spackle of night, I know there is kindness. Two. At the gym the other day, an elderly woman asked me for help. She was at the top of the stairs coming down. I was walking up, sweaty, purple, and exhausted. She asked, "Will you do me a favor?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Will you carry this bag down to the bottom of the stairs for me?" I said, "Yes." I think about the things we do for one another and the things we don't do, the things we will continue to do despite uneasiness, despite fear, despite cruelty and change. I shudder at what might rise to my lips, about what mountains might separate us from one another, and what mountains might separate us from ourselves. There must be kindness despite the possible end of the world. Three. The dead wooden stars of my tongue, the dead wooden rolling of thunder. Will nothing come to bless what has a chance to spring? Will nothing stand for what once was ruined? Love to slaughter it all. Love to bring it all down, bloody. This is called When Living Feels Like a Labor of Love. It begins the way it always does, whether it's a movie, a song, or some snippet overheard on the subway. There's heartbreak. On the television, heartbreak. On the internet, heartbreak. Meeting a friend for drinks, heartbreak. What is wrong with us? I keep trying to make sense of the rules. Goodness, patience, respect, and freedom. Maybe these things need to be spoken out loud. These silent struggles need to be lined up and fought for. They need some kind of upheaval. We are the ones to blame. We do not love enough. This is not a phenomenon. The heartbreak is a passed over sign that no one reads and no one wipes clean. Because we are numb to the grime and to the wear. We know better, but the heartbreak, that heartbreak is everywhere. News travels so fast on Twitter, but it's just too much for the heart. I know no decade is better. Madness is madness, and every age has its chaos. Okay, so this is the pop culture section. So I'm going up to Belfast tomorrow and for a reading on Thursday. So I'm going to be going to Winterfell. So if you are a Game of Thrones fan, Winterfell's up there. And I'm really excited. So this is called I Want to Be Stark-like, and the Starks come from Winterfell. I want to be Stark-like. A man is only worth what people say he is, and those Starks are good stock. They'll knee-deep it. They famish the craving they are fathered by. Manning the forestry of life, they are steadfast and sturdy. When pungent or cruel, they sauce the ache. Light folds them in two. What I want to say is, I would meet you upon this.
Let me too carry the token of the world. Tell me the secret of what comes next, and then take me. River, river, river. So I'm also Team Khaleesi. And Khaleesi has two poems in the book. This is the second one. Khaleesi says, reprise. I will fight injustice with justice, she says, and I bring you a choice. But what if she said, you will obey me? That pride is a pit, and Khaleesi is no peach. Brute, burden, beast, she is bullied, brazen, and bare. She is scrambled with man, horse, and spirit. What is fireborn could be fire-ridden, for one hand has five fingers. One digit could lead the others astray. This hand is reaching up as she is of the air. She says, I will see each of their faces. When she says each, she means all. What if in the moment that she leans in close to the lens, there's a smear of sap? What then of womanhood? A mother of dragons is still a mother. Her stare is blue, a fire not catching, a stunted sun, a contorted kiss, a vein left turned. This hand gives allegiance, and this hand the heart, and her heart beats with the roar of a wingspan so big it could cover us all in darkness. So now for Mad Men. So I never thought I'd write poems about television before. It was very bizarre when it started. I really couldn't believe it. It was like, oh my God, I'm writing poems about TV. This is crazy. And when Mad Men came out on TV, I wasn't really into it. I really thought that Don Draper was like not for me. I was not into him at all. People kept telling me to watch the show, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna watch it. Then I started watching it on Netflix. So when I started watching on Netflix, it was already the fifth season on TV. And I found myself pausing and writing notes in my phone, which is, again, something I'd never done before. And one of the first notes I wrote down is the title of this poem, In My Next Life, I Want to Be an Ad Man. If you don't know Mad Men, Don Draper works in advertising, and he's like the man in advertising. And he's really handsome.
Yeah.
So this poem has a lot to do with wordplay of his name, Don Draper, which you'll hear right away. I want to be donned in somehow, donned in everything, donned in the forgotten and the ecclesiastics of sex. Drape me in the charge, drape me in the rapture, drape me in meaning and keep it private. I want two lives, one in the city and one in the country. Two women, a blonde and a redhead. Drape me in wealth, drape me in booze, don me in diamonds and fur. Drape a secretary here and then there. Executive is the word that comes to the lips and they smile for you, sister. Don me in designer suits, don me in a new age, don me in what's coming. Drape the future around my shoulders, drape the next life across my lap. Drape me in the madness, don me in the tuneness of passion. Don me in pieces of last, of force, pieces of shaken and possible, then drape me in manhood. Drape me in machinery and steel. Don me in utterly and plush utterings, and do I sound like I'm stuttering? Make me look good, the world is dangerous. This next poem is another Mad Men poem. It's called The Times, and I think it's season 5. It's when things are already really bad for Don and his second wife, Megan. The Times. When Don puts on the Revolver LP, it is like I'm back in my childhood bedroom, asserting that it is not the 1990s. When the Beatles terrorize his penthouse apartment, I wish I could sit on his lap and sing to him. Don says, having a dream is admirable. He can drink all he wants, as long as when And Your Bird Can Sing comes on, he promises to dance. Whiskey could do the trick. Those Drapers are pretty predictable. Drapers do whatever they want. Even if Don is an ideas man, he knows better than to say no to a woman. Don says, raised in the 30s, my dream was indoor plumbing. Megan says, Don, you're everything I dreamed. Let's not talk about my dreams. I thought I'd hate Don, like everyone else, but I don't. I long for him the way kids long for the turning of the ice cream man. I hear the elevator door ding and I rise on up. Sure, he's troubled like the rest of them, but beneath that designer suit is a good, strong man. He's a warrior. He treats Joan like she came out of that goddamn Trojan horse with the soldiers, all woman, all beauty, and all power hungry as hell. She's everything a man is and more. Don can't plead with Joan. She's a woman who's ready to kill her darlings. I know advertising isn't based on moments, but life is. Don has changed this moment for me. When Don falls asleep on Peggy's lap, you can feel the continents shift. He almost tells her she's beautiful, but doesn't. Which is good, because she doesn't need that from him. When her number's called, she gets gone. When she gives her notice, he takes her hand like she is royalty. He is tender and sensual. It is almost erotic in the way he lingers there in the twilight of her moment. She is rejecting him, and he won't let go of her hand. She feels his lips, not on her face, but on the top of her hand, her fingers and her nails. He is proud of her. She's her own glory now. She's got the guns and the ammo. But inside, I bet he's thinking, I've created a monster. Peggy resists all the cliches and wraps herself in strength. She takes Don on in the way that children learn to fight back tears. This is tough love at its finest. It's a man's world, but not for all of us. This next poem is called The Little War. The Little War. The heart cannot speak. The stomach cannot see. The kidney cannot hear. The liver cannot taste. The eyes cannot feel. They lack. In this little war, the speed of the eye is null and akin to nothing. No one knows this. Together, we do not move or forest. Reader, what do you know of muteness, of the world so strange and the haunt of numbers? I want to know what you carry there and there. If it's a key, give it. It feels like a battle. A hidden one, a hidden little one, subtle-like, where my feet do not leave prints. The air does not capture my breath. My hair does not hit the floor. It flies up to a tree where it harvests, a nest for someone, something. Nothing shoots, nothing loads, no thing screams, but I know something inside wants. I don't know what is beneath the exterior or the virtual. I am losing. Alignment is losing, thought is losing, feeling is latching to something somewhere. What happened to the story? When? What happened to the tale? How? Say that someone somewhere knows. Reach me. So it was really hard to write a poem with the five given words, and once in a poetry class, I was given the assignment to write a self-portrait, which is also pretty hard to do, right? Because you could go anywhere with a self-portrait. So this poem is called Self-Portrait. You are welcome for all the times I have not said no. You are welcome for letting you know I'm not perfect. You are welcome for letting you know this struggle. You are welcome for the ways that I have opened this up without fear of the scalpel of this world. You are welcome for the way I navigate the world's difficult ways without love. You are welcome for my fearless beauty. And what of my desperate letting go of hope and all of my strong-willed lacklusters, those darker frustrations? You are welcome. And you are welcome for all of my overachieving that suggests loss. You're welcome for my history of feelings. Thank you for this heart. Thank you for the woman that I am. I'm going to end the reading from this part of the book with the end poem called Survival. And it has an allusion to one of my favorite books, T.H. White's The Once and Future King. Survival. My whole life I've been the speaker of my poems, but that isn't really true. My voice came late, sympathetic, like a witness or a victim. It was a rescuing impulse, that art, We were already groping at each other through the flower-sprayed fields of self-discovery. All across this body, I felt I was winning. I felt the harshness of promise conspire with the transformation of story, my story. We all have stories, like the way all states have fear. This is a feared state, but we must open the doors of our hearts and let the latches fall. All futures are uncertain. A brave new world is one where doom and sight are equivocal. Look again, this isn't fiction. We are living this. At times, the extraordinary overtakes me. A kiss, a new book, a moment of flattery, laughter, or a happy mistake. The dream, the scene of the past and the present are all encounters like train travel. The moment passes through us before we even register the scene. But I want to register this. I want to remember my hope and my heart. I want to remember the way time skips forward and away, like the stunning sight of bird wings beating, that stirred fascination, that flutter and art. Yes, I said art, and it is, even in this pacing of life we propel ourselves through. The wild joy is in the speaking. We must keep speaking. We are all in some way depressed, and the underpressed is in the imagining of desertion. The imagining of the next moment, the next day, the next year, like a rift opening. Keep looking. Manipulate that violating. Manipulate the whirl of your anger and meld it to what stirs you. In T.H. White's The Once and Future King, Merlin tells the young King Arthur, the wart, that he will someday face all the evil in the world. He says, learning will never fail you. And I feel that's good advice. We are all facing the darkness head on. Armor yourself in disruption and creation. That is the way this will end, in a forward slip into story, in taking the best parts of us into a future dawning with art and voice. So I'm going to switch over to some of my new poems, which are way more political. I'm working on a new manuscript currently called Of Tyrants. You might be able to figure out who the tyrant is, or mainly is. I think he's over in Scotland right now. So I'm going to read three new poems, and then I'm going to end with some Westworld-inspired poems, so that we don't end on a totally down note, right? Even though Westworld's kind of depressing. 6 minutes, excellent, thank you. Okay. This is called Two Lives. Let's start with the child and use that darling as a device. A little chaos makes a good story. When it comes to tormented goodness, look around. On the F train last week, I saw a mother and her child lock eyes. The child pushed through the crowd, her mouth a harsh parallel, her eyes a controlled earthquake of dread. A fragmented haunting of dense, hard, gray stone. Through the rush hour crowd, she pushed, as in a solitary migration to her mother, to the door, in an orb of her own. But I couldn't hear her words. I only heard the mother preening, leaning in, teaching her daughter to grasp her strength, to clench her fist, to rise against the spasm of silence. No one could hear the girl, but I saw her push. I saw her strive. Her silence wasn't learned or practiced, just fell upon, like so much in this life. The mother, riddled in grocery bags, errands, sweat, and homework, grabbed her daughter's delicate wrist. Her breath stood on her chin. Her eyes bore into her in nightmare. I felt the invisible line of pain forming around that wrist, like a system of star-like bruises, but there were no visible marks. She said, "Use your words, honey. You've got to use your words." In the fog of must, I saw life outside of this one. A life where daughters don't need such lessons. A seemingly unbrutal future held up by all of us. Such lessons would fall away, an escapable pattern of a life gone astray. If you weren't paying attention, you might have said villain, thief, tyrant, but the word truth-teller came to my lips. The rage of that mother to get her daughter to speak. To get her daughter to speak loudly. To get her daughter to speak up like a boy or a man. Teach the girl what must become innate and exile forever the faults of this world. starred with what the tyrant loves to throw, his words, his voice, his weight. And I'll end with Bernard 1. This is season 1, Westworld. Ford tells Bernard, creatures always go to extremes to protect themselves, but the unraveling of the world is in the injustice of might and the muse of dreams damned. Bernard believes he is doing the right thing. He protects and he loves, but his is a story of lost innocence, of planting and carving, of garnishing, and of the imprisoning of a frayed tapestry, lies and conceits. His is a window into a life, is a bird I follow with my eye to a creek that is not a creek, but a stream blackening, a butchered line of waste. Ford tries to comfort Bernard after his fall, and I imagine the sprouting of his not heart. I imagine the gloss of his not eyes. I even imagine the registry of the program and the program of his mind. What do we protect ourselves from, I wonder? Hate? Pain? Injustice? I want to protect Bernard from Ford. I want to sugar his hurt with cold, numb the stumbling truths inside him. When he learns his world is a massacre of falsehoods, I want to show him all worlds are. We are always escaping. We are always running with cups half full. We are always coming up between love and slaughter. Thank you so much.